Good evening. This coming Shabbos is Shabbos Mevarchim Kislev. This year, based on the kviyas of the year that Bereishis was right after Simchas Torah, so Toldos, Parshas Toldos, this Shabbos is Shabbos Mevarchim Kislev. Not only is it Shabbos Mevarchim Kislev, but it's also Erev Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So we go straight from Shabbos into the month of Kislev, the month of Chanukah. This Shabbos is the last day of Mar Cheshvan. It happens to be that tonight, tomorrow, is a day that is mentioned in Chumash. The 27th of Mar Cheshvan is the day when the earth dried after the flood was over, after the year that Noach and his family were on the Teva. The Pasuk says, "U'b'achaydesh hasheni b'shiva v'esrim yoyim l'achaydesh yofsha ha'oretz." It was the second month, the 27th day of the month, that's right now, tonight, the earth dried. And if you say, so what's the big deal? So, well, a date that's mentioned in Chumash is something very special. The Torah doesn't tell us about every single day of the year. The fact that the 27th of Mar Cheshvan is mentioned in Chumash, it was the day when the world started over again. And I once heard this from Rav Wolfson Shlita, that the whole pasuk uvachodesh hasheni b'shiva v'esrim yoyim l'chodesh yofsha ha'oretz, the entire pasuk, numerically, the gematria is 2,701, is exactly equal to Bereishis Bara Elokim Eis Hashamayim Ve'Eis Ha'oretz. A new beginning. The world started over again. Noach comes out of the Teva, it's a new world. So even for us, where every day one is supposed to always visualize as if today is the first day, and every day, B'chol Yom Yiyo Be'enecha Kachadoshim, Chav Zayin Cheshvan has something very unique and special about it, the fact that it was the first day that Noach comes out of the Teva after the Mavel. It's a new beginning, and especially as we now approach the upcoming month of Kislev, which in contrast to Mar Cheshvan, as mentioned in the previous weeks, that Mar Cheshvan is the month of Akrav, the month of the Scorpion. In fact, the Shabbos is the last day of Akrav, a month in which there was no Yom Tov as of yet. We enter Kislev, which is the month of Chanukah. Chanukah is the Yom Tov, as the Rekeach and all the Sfarim who quote him and talk about this. Chanukah is the Yom Tov in which we experience the light, the Oiroi Shel Melech HaMashiach. Chanukah is the Yom Tov in which we sort of get a taste of the Messianic world. As we'll soon see, Chanukah is like a taste of the future. It's a taste of La'osid Lavai. It's the Yom Tov in which, as the Rekeach says, the hidden light that was created at the beginning of creation, Vayar Elohim es ha'or ki toiv vayavdeil, that's the hidden light, the light that was put away for the future, on Chanukah, that is revealed. Chanukah, and Kislev as well, since Chanukah isn't Kislev, is the Yom Tov, the month in which the hidden is revealed. The hidden, meaning literally the jug of oil that was hidden, buried under the ground, and also the hidden, certain parts of Torah that till then were hidden, were revealed. Basically, Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral part of the Torah, the Mishnah, the Gemara, which intensified after the Chashmonaim defeated the Greeks. Before we get to that, though, this is a parasha shir too. The name of this parasha is Toldos. Toldos, 106 psukim. This parasha talks to us about Yaakov and Esav. And the parasha begins, Ve'ele Toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham. It starts with a Vav. Ve'ele, which would seem that it's connected to the previous parasha. As most parashios begin with a Vav. Unless they are disconnected from the previous parasha. Like Ele Toldos Noach, for example, that parasha is a disconnect from the parsha before. Now comes the Mabel, a disconnect from Bereishis. Rashi already tells us, well, not already, but Rashi tells us later on, already meaning that we learned it last year, Ve'eila ha'mishpatim asher tosim lufneihem, that whenever the Torah begins with Ve'eila, it means it's a continuation of before, and these are continuing from the previous parsha. Ve'eila. If it says Eila without a Vav, then that means it's a disconnect. So all the Sfarim ask here, why are we starting this parasha with a Vav? When we look at the previous parasha, we see it ends with Yishmael. It ends with the children of Yishmael, the descendants of Yishmael. So what's the continuation? What's the connection here? Here we're talking about Toldos Yitzchak. There should have been a disconnect. Why are we comparing Toldos Yishmael to Toldos Yitzchak? Some answer that just like Avraham had a Yishmael, so too Yitzchak had an Esav. That's the connection. The Rashi himself says here, Ve'ela told us Yitzchak, who are they? Who are the descendants of Yitzchak? Yaakov ve'Esav who amurim beparsha. Because right away we don't see who they are. It says these are the children of Yitzchak, and then it says Yitzchak is 40 years old when he marries Rivka, and he prays to Hashem, so where are the children of Yitzchak? So Rashi says, have patience. Later on in the parsha you'll see who they are. Yaakov ve'Esav who amurim beparsha. Mefarshim also asks, that's unusual for Rashi to say that. Rashi would just say, Yaakov ve'Esav. What do you have to say? Ho amurim beparsha. I mean, obviously, it's what we're talking about the parsha now. We're not talking about something else. This is the parsha of the week. Rashi does not usually use that expression if he uses it at all. The Ramban says, Yaakov ve'Esav ho amurim lamata. Later on, Rashi uses the word parsha. What's Rashi telling us here? There are many, many obvious questions in this parasha that anyone who goes through the parasha with the Mefarshim will see various explanations as to the whole story of the fact that Rivka is pregnant with twins, where one's going one way and one's going the other way. Why did Hashem make it that way? Why didn't Hashem just make two different births? Yaakov and Esav are not the same at all. There should have been a Yaakov and an Esav. Why was it necessary for them to be fighting in the womb? And Yaakov is trying to get out first, and then Esav is trying to get out first. And the other, Ochezes Ba'akev Esav, and Yaakov is holding on to the heel of Esav. Why did it have to be so difficult? And because of that, Esav has to sell the Bechorah to Yaakov. He wouldn't have to sell the Bechorah to Yaakov had Yaakov been born first. If it would have been just two different pregnancies, it would have been very simple. The Ran asks this question. The Drushas HaRan, who was a Rishon, in his fifth and also in his second Drusha, he discusses this and the obvious question of why did Yaakov have to take the brachas away from Esav in a seemingly conniving, deceiving manner. Yaakov is the Ish Emes. Why did it have to be that way? Why didn't just Yitzchak bless Yaakov straight? Why did everything have to be go in a roundabout way that Yitzchak doesn't know, and Yaakov has to dress up like Esav, and he's wearing Esav's clothes, and it's a very strange story. Why should it have to be that way? And the Ran asks this question, and the Ran gives a fundamental, a very important answer, which is basically the history of anti-Semitism and the history of Klal Yisrael till this very moment. This was all pre-planned. It was all purposely done that way so that Yaakov and Esav should be separated. Esav should hate Yaakov. Hashem wanted that. Vayistom Esav is Yaakov, so that Yaakov and Esav will not mingle. Otherwise, they are brothers, so they'll be together. Even today, unfortunately, we see it very clearly. Hatzilenina miyad ochi miyad Esav is the Beis Halevi. The famous Beis Halevi writes in Parshas Vayishlach that Yaakov is worried not only about the hateful Esav, he's even more worried about the brotherly love Esav. But that's what the plan was, that Esav and Yaakov are to be separate, and that's why the brachas had to be done in such a way. Yitzchak does not know who he's giving the bracha to. He thinks he's giving the bracha to Esav, which was also a plan to show that the bracha was totally milmaila, it came totally from above. It made no sense, because that's what type of bracha this was. Yitzchak could not know exactly who he's giving the bracha to. The Ran talks about it, Barichas, and the Svarim quote it. That doesn't answer, though, why Yaakov and Esav, though, were in the same womb. And it doesn't explain the concept over here of Yodo Ochezes Ba'akev Esav, that Yaakov is holding on to the heel of Esav. What does that symbolize? Parshas Toldos is very unique in many, many ways. Every parsha is unique. We once mentioned this, that there is always a word, at least one, or sometimes many, and many times clusters of words, that are found only in one parsha. You don't find it in any other parsha. Every parsha has a certain word not found in any other parsha. Once figured it out, from Bereshis till the end. Because every parasha is unique, every parasha has its specific lessons, guidelines, every parasha has to do with the time that it's being read, as mentioned many times. In this case, ending Mar Cheshvan and now going into Kislev, which has in it the yomtiv of Oirei Shel Melech HaMashiach, Chanukah, the yomtiv of the Ha'ara of La'asid Lavai, the Ur HaGonuz. Toldos is unique in that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov live together in this parasha. This is the only parasha where all three are alive at the same time, for 15 years. Last week, for example, in Chayisara, there's no Yaakov yet, Yaakov wasn't born. So only Avraham and Yitzchak. Next week, Vayetze, there's no Avraham. Avraham passes away here. Avraham passes away, actually, at the end of Chayisara, but he's still living at the beginning here, because the beginning of the parasha is talking about the first 13 or 15 years of Yaakov and Esav when Avram is still alive. In fact, the story here of the broth, the adoshim, the lentil soup, is the day that Avram passed away. So in this parasha, you have all three living at the same time. There's no other parasha like that. What's so special about that? The Tferes Shleima, the Radomska, writes in Parashas Va'era that whenever you have a pasuk, he's talking about a pasuk that has all three in it, that pasuk is associated with the future. When you have Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov together in one pasuk, that's redemption. That's geula. And he quotes the famous pasuk in Va'era, V'heivesi eschem el ha'oretz asher nasasi es yodi l'asei soso le'avraham le'yitzchak u'le'yaakov. That's talking about entering Eretz Yisrael, the final geula, V'heivesi b'gematria Mashiach ben David. And there Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov appear in one pasuk. There are a few other pasukim. He quotes another one. He quotes a pasuk where it says in Yeshaya, Kol tzoyfayach nasu koil yachdav yiraneinu tzoyfayach those are the others, the visionaries, the seers, the prophets, Yachdov, together, Yiraneinu, that pasuk is talking about the Geula. Certainly, when you have a parsha where all three are alive at the same time, if a pasuk that only has their name mentioned three times is symbolic of the future, is symbolic of the Geula, certainly a parsha that has all three, which is only this parsha, told us, if one goes through, most of this parasha is really messianic. Most of this parasha is geula, it's redemption. Because what's it talking about? It begins when Rivka goes to Shem ben Noach to ask what kind of weird pregnancy she's having. What is this schizophrenic that she thinks she has in her stomach, who at one point wants to run out to the shul, then afterwards he wants to go to the church, he can't make up his mind, she's very nervous, she thinks it's a person, it's a mentally deranged child inside of her. And then of course the answer is no, it's not. It's two different people. Shnei goyim bevitnechu, shnei le'umim mimei ayich yiparedu. And then Shem said, v'rav yavod so'ir. The older one is going to be subservient to the younger one, or the one with the multitudes is going to be subservient to the one to the minority. V'rav yavod so'ir. When did that happen? That's going to happen in the future. That's going to happen when Mashiach will come. So v'rav yavod so'ir is a promise for the future. That didn't happen yet. V'yodo ocheses ba'akev Esav. What does that mean? Rashi says that at the end of the reign of Esav, the reign of Edom, when it looks like Edom is going to rule forever, that's when Yaakov takes away the reign from him. Yaakov holding on to the heel of Esav is symbolic of Yaakov taking away the empire of Esav, as Rashi says here. When is that going to be? That's going to be at the end of time. That's going to be in the future. That's La'asad Lavo. So again, that's not now. That's symbolic of the future. Yaakov buys the Bechora from Esav. When is it going to be recognized that the Bechora belongs to Am Yisrael? When is it going to be recognized that B'ni Bechori Yisrael, that we are Hashem's firstborn? That's in the future. Yaakov takes the Bracha away from Esav. Bracha is the same letters as Bechora, because the one who gets the bracha has to be the Bechor. But when does that manifest? When does that actually take place? V'yitan l'choho Elohim b'tal ha-shamayim, the famous bracha that Yitzchak is bestowing to Yaakov, he thinks it's Esav, is really a bracha associated with the future. The Ramban says this is all for the future. V'yitan l'choho Elohim b'tal ha-shamayim b'shmanei ha-oretz v'rov dogon v'sirosh yavducha amim v'yishtachav l'chol ha-umim. All of that is going to be in the future. So this parasha definitely is a parasha in which we are already, we feel the light of the future. As we enter the month of Kislev, Chanukah, which Chanukah itself is a ha'ara of La'asid Lavoi. In fact, as mentioned last week, with the Balaturim, which could also explain why the parasha begins with a Vav, the juxtaposition between Chayasara and told those is at the end of Chayasar, we read about the downfall of Yishmael, Al Panei Kol Echov Nofol, which as mentioned, that phrase is B'gematria Dor Acharon, last generation, which is our generation, Al Panei Kol Echov Nofol, Ve'eile Toldos Yitzchak, says the Balaturim, the Rokeach, Keshe Yipol Yishmael Be'acharis Hayomim, when Yishmael will fall at the end of time, Oz Yitzmach Ben David, Shenemar ve'eile toldos Yitzchok. So ve'eile toldos Yitzchok is Tzmichas ben David. That's Geula. Just right away at the beginning of the parasha. Ve'eile toldos Yitzchok happens to be B'gematria. Hinei anochi shaleach lachem es Eliyahu hanavi. It's also equal and interesting to a pasuk in Yecheskel connected to this year. Many make a remez what every year, Tovshin Ayin this, Tovshin Ayin Dalid, many said, is Teheshnas Eis Dodim. In Yecheskel it says Vehine Itech Eis Dodim. That's a pasuk related to what we say by the Haggadah. Revava Ketzemach Hasad Nesatich Vo'e'evor Alayich Vo'erech Misposesis B'donayich Vo'omar Alav B'donayich Hayi Vehine Itech Eis Dodim. Rashi quotes it in Parshas Bo'i, and when it's talking about the Geula Pesach, the time has come when Hashem joins with us again with the love that Hashem. Vehine Itech Eis Dodim. The Eila told us Yitzchak is also the gematria of Vehine Itech Eis Dodim, and the words Eis Dodim are equal to Hamelach HaMashiach Ben David, because that's going to happen when Mashiach will come. Meaning, all of this is to say, to show, this parasha is associated with the future. This is a parasha of La'asid Lavoi. This is one of the only parashas, if not the only, that every aliyah has a bracha in it. Every aliyah. The first aliyah, the Hirbesi Azaracha, the Hizbaruchu Vizaracha. Then the second aliyah, Vayavarchehu Hashem. The third aliyah, once again, Hirchiv Hashem Lanu Parinu Ba'aretz. The next one, Beruch Hashem, Ato Ato Beruch Hashem. And of course, from Chamishi to Shishi, when you have the brachas, Re'ei Re'ach B'ni K'Re'ach Sod, Hashem Beruch Hashem, Vayivarchehu. And at the end, again, there's a bracha, by Shvi, Vayikra Yitzchak El Yaakov, Vayivarcha Yisai. Then afterwards, Vayar Esav, Ki Beirach Yitzchak Is Yaakov. The word bracha is mentioned in this parasha more than in any other parasha. And by every aliyah, it is a bracha. Bracha and Bechorah, as mentioned before, come from the same shorish. And the shorish of the word Bechor, Beis Chav Reish, Boreich, the Maral writes, these three letters, Beis, Reish, Chav, are the only three letters in the entire Aleph Beis that are double the letter before it. Beis, 2, is double 1, Aleph, which comes before it. Chav, 20, is double 10, Yud, that comes before it. And of course, Reish is double the Kuf. Bracha is ribui, hosofa, kiflayim, kefil. A bechor gets double. The bechor gets pishnayim bechol asher yimotzei. Lo, as the pasuk says in Parshas Kiseitzei, the bechor gets double. So in the word bechor, the Maral writes this, many others say the same thing, that the word bechor itself tells us that he gets double, because the letters, beis chof resh, tell us that the letters themselves infer that we're talking about kefil, we're talking about double. Yaakov says to Esav, I want you to sell me michro chayom, like the day, your firstborn right. I want you to sell it to me. Uncle is translated here, dilhain. Very strange word, dilhain, if he ever says it anywhere else. So Rashi says, michro chayom, like the day, is clear. When it's day and it's clear outside, michro chayom, ketargumo kiyom dilhain, Kiyom Shehu Borer, like a day that it's clear outside, a clear day, a clear sky. So too, I want you to sell me a Mechira Berura, an uncontested sale that you're not going to complain about. You're not going to, of course, he did later on. But Michra Chayom, I want you to sell like the day. The diktuk here is a little difficult. Kayom, it means Kihayom. It should have said Michra Chayom, not Kayom, like the day. Like what day? Sell like day, not sell like the day. What day are we talking about? Chassam Sofer asks this question. Chassam Sofer says, Yaakov was talking about a specific day. He was talking about the day that he is going to be buried in the Moros HaMachpelah. He was already worried then. He's 63 years old here. I'm sorry, he's 15 years old here, or 13 years old. At the end of the parasha, he's 63. He's worried now what's going to happen many, many years later. He dies at the age of 147. That Esav is going to contest, which Esav does. Esav protests, and Esav wants to be buried in the Maros HaMachpelah. So Yaakov says, I want you to sell me the Bechorah like the day, meaning for that day, for that special day later on, for Kvura in the Maros HaMachpelah, because the only ones allowed to be buried in the Maros HaMachpelah are firstborns. Avraham is the firstborn. Yitzchak is considered the firstborn, although Yishmael is older. But you see, Yishmael does tshuva, because Yishmael says Yitzchak should go ahead of him by Avraham's funeral. And Yishmael does not contest being buried, even though the Arabs say that he is buried there, but he's nowhere near there. Yishmael never protested that Yitzchak be buried in the Maros HaMachpelah. Adam, of course, is the first person ever to be created, so he's certainly a Bechor. And Yaakov, now that he buys the Bechor from Esav, said there should be no question that he's the Bechor. Bechor is not only based on genetics, Bechor means you have to deserve it. And since Esav does not, because Esav belittles Hashem's service, Vayivez Esav as a Bechor, so therefore Yaakov says it goes to me. But what does he really want here, besides for the future, for all time, Am Yisrael, Bnei Bechor Yisrael, says the Chasam Sofer, Yaakov wants to be buried in the Maariv HaMachpelah. Kayom, that day. Kehayom. Now, the Bnei Yisrael tells us, Chasam Sofer just says that it's the day that he wanted to be buried in the Maariv HaMachpelah when he passes away. And we know that Yaakov and Esav both were buried the same day. They didn't die the same day, but they both were buried the same day, and that Rashi brings here from the Gemara and Sota at the end of the story of the parasha, basically towards the end, when it says here that Rivka says to Yaakov, I want you to run away because Esav hates you. He knows you took the brachas away from you, from him. So I want you to run away. When you forget, then I'll call you back. I don't want to lose you both in one day. Says Rashi, she didn't realize what she was saying. What she did, she had Ruach HaKodesh. She prophesied that they're going to die on the same day. Now, they did not die on the same day. There was a 70-day gap, because it took 70 days from when Yaakov died until he was actually buried in Eretz Yisrael, in the Maariv HaMachpelah, but they were buried the same day. What day was that? Chasam Sofer does not discuss that. The Bnei Yisoschar does. Not only the Bnei Yisoschar, it's brought down in other Sfarim too, when I found it later, and many other Sfarim that say the same thing, that it was on Chanukah. The Bnei Yisoschar, in fact, says it was the first day of Chanukah, which is Chof Hei Kislev, which perhaps we could hint in this pasuk here, Michra Chayom, which Chayom is Kihayom, is Yom Chof Hei, the 25th. And the word Dilhain, which Unkelus says here, which they have a difficulty in time understanding, what they're having a problem understanding exactly what he means here, Dilhain is Begematria Chanukah. Dalet Lamed Hei Nun is 89, that's equal to the word Chanukah. So, interesting. So, Michra Chayom, Yaakov is saying, I want you to sell me your Bechora so that I can be buried in the Maariv HaMachpelah without any protest, because I'm going to be the Bechora. When is that? First day of Chanukah. We're reading this always as we enter the month of Kislev. And the Pasuk that talks about Rivka telling Yaakov, please run away, I don't want to lose you both in one day. That one day is Chanukah. So it comes out that Yaakov is buried in the Maariv HaMachpelah on Chanukah, and Esav is killed on Chanukah. Because the day that Yaakov is buried is the day that Esav got killed. The Mapola, the downfall of Esav, takes place on Chanukah, and then it's clear that Yaakov is the Bechor. There's no question. Yaakov is buried, that's it. Esav is gone, Esav is killed, Chushim ben Dan, Chushim kills Esav. Chushim, which stands for Madlik Shmonas Yemei Chanukah, he kills Esav, Yaakov is buried in the Maariv HaMachpelah. The Medrash tells us, those buried in the Maariv HaMachpelah, Machpelah meaning doubled, Kefel, are Schoram Kofel Umechupel. They get double reward. What does that mean, they get double reward? So it means they have reward in this world and in the next. Olam Haza, Olam Haba. That's Pishnayim. We, Am Yisrael, we are Hashem's firstborn, Bnei Bechor Yisrael. So we get two portions, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. That's what they were fighting about in the womb. Esav, however, gives up his right for Olam Haba. He says clearly he doesn't believe in it. Hinei Anochi Holech Lomus, V'lomaz Ali Bechorah. What do I need it for? I don't believe in it. I'm going to die anyway, so eat and drink and be merry and enjoy life. There's only one world. He denies Tchias HaMesim, he denies Yemos HaMoshiach, he denies Olam Haba. He's not part of it, and therefore he does not deserve to be a Bechor who gets double, and he doesn't get the Schar of Kefil, and he cannot be buried in the Maariv HaMachpelah. Now, the purpose of this whole parasha here, really, is to separate Yaakov from Esav. That's what's taking place here. Yaakov Esav HaAmurim B'Parsha. Parsha means from Lashon Prisha, they're being mefuroshim, they're being separated one from the other. But it's not so simple. Esav, although Esav is Ra, Esav does have in him sparks of Kedusha. V'horaya. V'yehav Yitzchak es Esav, ki tzayid b'fiv. How could that be? Yitzchak is a merkava l'shchina. Yitzchak doesn't know who Esav is. So again, it depends which Sfarim you read. There are those who will say he didn't know. And Esav fooled him. And there are others who say, of course he knew. But he knew that Esav had greater potential than Yaakov. Esav had a bigger Yetzahar because he was really greater. Esav could have been greater. But there's more to it than that. The Moreh Nayim brings down in this week's parasha, and others for him as well, that in Esav were great, great neshamas. Rabbi Akiva comes from Esav. Can't get greater than that. Shmaya ve'avtalion come from Esav. Rabbi Meir comes from Esav. Torah Shebal Peh, v'chulu aliba de Rabbi Akiva. That means the whole Torah Shebal Peh, basically, is in Esav. Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav. Esav stands for Akiva, Shmaya ve'avtalion. Kitzayid befiv. There's a trapping. There's neshamas that are trapped in Esav. Yishmael, that did not exist. By Yishmael, that was no such thing. But you don't find that it says Avraham loved Yishmael. He did love Yishmael, but the Torah doesn't say that there was a special love that he had for him. There was no future for Yishmael. Yishmael, once Yishmael died, that's it. The rest of Yishmael, that's what we mentioned last week, the Chidah says that you will not find a convert from Islam to Judaism. It never happens. Even though their religion is much closer to us than Christianity in certain ways, never, you don't find. And if you do, it's because the mother was Jewish. Well, you don't find it. Christians many times convert. All the time. Because Christians come from Esav, Muslims come from Yishmael. Yishmael, there's no more sparks of Kedusha. There's nothing to sift the Kedusha from the Ra and take out the Nitzutze Kedusha from the Tumah, because Yishmael was Kulo Ra. And once Yishmael died, Al Panei Kol Echav Nafal, and that's it. Not Esav, though. In Esav, there is Kedusha. Esav was a born Jew. Yishmael wasn't born Jewish. The Eila told us Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham holid es Yitzchak. Meaning, when Yitzchak was born, when Sarah conceived Yitzchak, Avraham was Avraham. He was a Yid, he was a Yehudi. When Yishmael was born, when Hagar conceived Yishmael, in other words, he was Avram. He didn't have the bris yet. He wasn't the Jew himself yet. So Yishmael is not considered a Yehudi at all. And his bris is not on the same level as the bris of Avraham. It's not even considered a bris. The esbrisi okim es Yitzchak, not Yishmael. Esav is different. Esav, the Gemara in Kedushin, calls him a Yisrael Mumar. So Esav is Jewish. Esav was born Jewish. Whether he had a bris or not is a discussion. Das Kenim says he didn't, but Esav is a Yid. Esav was born to Yitzchak and Rivka, who were both Yehudim. And therefore there is Kedusha in Esav, and therefore, even though Esav himself goes off the derech, Avraham dies, he gives it all up. Medrash says he violated that day 5 major transgressions. He murdered, he committed immorality and idolatry, and he was Mevaza the Bechorah, and he was a kofer in Olam Haba and in Tchias HaMesim, kofer be'ikr. But in Esav there are sparks of Kedusha. The love that Yitzchak had for Esav, that love itself meant that there's something there. And therefore, throughout history, Yaakov, Klal Yisrael, do not only concern themselves with our own, but we also concern ourselves with our immediate surroundings, B'nai Esav, which is why Jews were scattered and dispersed all over the world. This is a Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara says, Loi higla HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Yisrael v'bein ha'umais ela kadesh yitoisfu aleihem geirim. That Hashem purposely scattered and dispersed us all over the world to bring converts. Now, we don't go after converts. We're against that. But the fact is that there are geirim, there are neshamas that are trapped in Esav's world. And Jews are all over the world, and somehow these sparks are attracted to Am Yisrael and come back and join. Which means Esav, as he is in the parsha, means as he is mentioned in the Torah, that Esav has Kedusha in him. That's what Rashi is saying here. Ve'ela told us Yitzchak, Yaakov ve'Esav ha'amurim be'parsha. Esav is also told as Yitzchak, who is discussed in the parsha. The Torah itself talks about Esav. That's the good part of Esav. Now, where do we see this happening? On Chanukah. Chanukah is the Yom Tov. I mentioned this many times, but perhaps tonight maybe with a little different twist. Chanukah is the only Yom Tov, first of all, that begins in the second half of the month. There is no other Yom Tov that starts after the 15th day. Shavuos is the 5th, is the 6th and the 7th. Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the year, first day of the month. Sukkot, Pesach is the 15th, smack in the middle when the moon is full. Purim is 14th, 15th. Only Yom Tov, as the moon is in decrease mode, is Chanukah, 25th. To counter also their holiday, which begins on the 25th. Descendants of Esav, which the Chanukah we have, of course, came before December 25th. It's the remedy before the wound. Even according to their history, they know that Chanukah came first. Chanukah is the only Yom Tov that the mitzvah is, well, we shouldn't say the only, but certainly it's unique in that the main commandment, the main mitzvah, is to be performed at night, when the sun sets. Mishatishka hachama, purposely, not during the day. Especially what's interesting is that we light the menorah to commemorate the nes that happened with the menorah. The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was lit daytime. It went through the night, but it was lit during the day. The mitzvah on Chanukah is to light it purposely after sunset, mishatishka hacham, when it's night. The mitzvah is, according to many poskim, and it's the halacha basically, if you light by the doorway, you light on the left side of the door. The mezuzah is on the right, you light the menorah on the left side. Also interesting, usually you do things with your right hand, usually do it the right side. Most mitzvahs are performed by day. Another interesting phenomenon by Chanukah is you light the menorah by the outside. You're supposed to illuminate the street. Shades are up, or in the Eretz Yisrael, they actually do it outside. Al Pesach Beisoy Mibachutz, which is also interesting, because normally we stick to our own. We do things in private. There's no mitzvah to go out, and you don't have to read the Megillah in the street on Purim. You could, but you don't have to. It's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is doing it in the shul. Where does it say you have to go out into the street? Chanukah is associated with the street. Al Pesach Beisoy Mibachutz, to illuminate the Rishus HaRabim, to illuminate the public domain, something you don't find by any other yontif. Also, we light the menorah below 10 tfachim. Below 10 tfachim. Very unique too, because the Gemara says, in Sukkah, me'olam lo yarda shechina lamata me'asara, the shechina never went down below 10. So below 10 is something, it's materialistic, earthly. Where are you supposed to light the menorah? Below 10 tfachim, where the shechina does not go. So why is it this way? Why is Chanukah so different? Why is Chanukah so unique? Does that mean that Chanukah is sort of on a lower plane than other Yomim Tovim, since it's on the left side and outside and nighttime and in the second half of the month and so on? No, on the contrary. Chanukah is so powerful that it affects the lowest souls, the lowest neshamas, the neshamas of especially of our time that were affected by Esav. All these details have to do with Esav. Esav is on the left. Today we know what the left means. Esav is associated with below 10 tfachim, materialism, earthly. Esav is in the outs. Esav is in the street. Esav is outside. And many, many Jewish souls, unfortunately, were affected by the left and by the earth and by the outside and by Esav. And during the time when the moon is in decrease mode, which symbolizes when things are not the way they should, times of concealment. And then there's Esav himself. Interesting, the only Yom Tov where the Goyim know about it too. Even in the banks, they have a menorah. For whatever reason, they have it there. We know why they have it there, literally, but they have a menorah. They don't have a Megillah on Purim. They don't have a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, but somehow Hanukkah they seem to know about. And it's not only because it falls out around the same time this year, I don't think so, but this year it's a lot earlier, at the same time as their holiday, there's obviously a reason. Chanukah is so powerful, it's such a bright light, that it affects the Goyisha world too. Which world? The world of Esav. Because the purpose of Chanukah is to remove the sparks, it's to get the sparks of Kedusha out of Esav, to bring even those in Esav's domain, back to us, and certainly Jewish souls that are trapped in the world of Esav. Chanukah has the power to bring them back. That's why the Sfarim tell us that those who didn't yet do tshuva, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, or even Hoshanah Rabbah, they have till Zois Chanukah. Zois Chanukah is called in the Sfarim HaKadoshim the Gemar Chasim HaToyva. We are normally accustomed to say Chasim HaToyva on Yom Kippur. There's a grace period that's been given to the latter generations, the generations that have been affected by Esav, that we have more time. Those who don't yet, who haven't yet completed their tshuva should know that there's still time. That's why Mahadrin, Min HaMahadrin is Begematria Tshuva. This is the Yom Tov of Mahadrin, Min HaMahadrin. The Gemara tells us that my Chanukah, what's Chanukah? The Tonu Rabbanan, the Chachamim learned in a Braisa, and the Gemara tells us the whole story about Chanukah. So the Sfarim tell us, Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh is the oral law, the oral part of the Torah that's not written, the Torah that consists of the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Halacha, the Haggadah, that which is hidden in Torah Shebiksav. Torah Shebal Peh is the Or HaGonuz that is hidden in Torah Shebiksav. Chanukah, it was revealed, not only the oil, that was buried, that was Nitman, that was the only the Pach Shema that they found. But also Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Torah Shebaal Peh. And the Sfarim say that's hinted in the Gemara. My Chanukah, the Tanu Rabbanon. Chanukah is Tanu Rabbanon. The Gemara says Chanukah loy nitzna likosei. The Nes of Chanukah was not written, because the Gemara says that Esther Purim is the last Nes that we have. Why is it the last Nes? We have Chanukah. So the Gemara says Purim was the last miracle to be written, which means Purim is Torah Shebiksav. Chanukah is Torah Shebaal Peh. It's not written. Now Torah Shebaal Peh is the main part of the Torah. Of course, that's what separates us from the nations. And we're talking about a parasha here now where Yaakov and Esau have to be separated. What separates us from them? Not the Bible, not the Torah Shebiksav. They have that too. What separates us from them is Torah Shebaal Peh. That they don't have. That's only us. The Gemara says in Gittin Daf Samach and on the pasuk in Kisisa, Al pi hadvarim ha'ela korati itcha bris lo koras hakadosh baruch hu bris im Yisrael ela im Torah Shebaal Peh. The bris that Hashem made with us, the special covenant that we have with Hashem that connects us to Him and Him to us, and not with the nations, is Torah Shebaal Peh. Mishnayos, Gemara, Halacha, Agada, and down to all the parts of Torah that are being revealed ad hayom hazeh. Now this is hinted right at the beginning of Chumash. At the beginning of Chumash it says, Hashem saw that the light was good, and He separated. Vayara Elohim Esa'or Ki Tov, Vayavdeil. So the Baal HaTurim tells us the last letters of Es Ha'or Ki Tov is Bris, Beis Resh Yud Tov. The Or Ki Tov that it says at the beginning of Chumash that was put away for the future is the Torah Shebaal Peh, which Hashem made a Bris with us. Vayavdel, that's what separates us from them. Now on Chanukah that was revealed, because Chanukah is the Yom Tov where we defeated the Greeks, who incidentally the Medrash in Akev says they're also called Akrav, scorpions, Okar Bayis, because they also were trying to disconnect us from Hashem, but more than that, that we should mingle with them. Their whole purpose, the whole gullus of Yavan, different than the other gullios, was that they weren't out to kill us, they were out to assimilate us, they were out to, that we should involve ourselves and study the Greek mythology and so on, become one nation with them. L'hashkicham Torosecha u'l'haviram mechukei ritzonecha, as we say in the Al-Anisim, they wanted us to forget the Torah. Which Torah? Torah Shebiksav, you can't forget, it's written. They wanted us to forget Torah Shebaal Peh. Because if there's no Torah Shebaal Peh, then the Jew and the Goy can become one. It's Torah Shebaal Peh that separates us. Now, at the end of the parasha, we learn that Esav goes to Yishmael. Vayelech Esav el Yishmael. As the Midrashim said, there's going to come a time when the world of Esav and Yishmael are going to join together, as perhaps we see happening now. Maybe even the president that we have today is a fusion of Esav and Yishmael. We still don't know exactly what he is, but Vayelech Esav el Yishmael is becoming a reality. Now, from the words Vayelech Esav el Yishmael, the Gemara in Megillah learns out that from that pasuk and from the last psukim at the end of Parashas Chayesar, where it talks about how long Yishmael lived, we know exactly how long Yaakov went to learn in the Beis Medrash of Aver. Not Shem. Shem had passed away already. Shem passed away when Yaakov was 50. So at the beginning of the parasha, we learn that Yaakov studied in the halls of Shem and Aver. Yaakov ishtom yoshev ohalim be'ohalo shel Shem be'ohalo shel Aver. Later, when he was 63, and he ran away, and his father and mother told him to go get married, he went for 14 years to the Beis Medrash of Aver, where it says he buried himself. Nitman be'beis Aver, or as the Gemara in Megillah says, Shimesh be'beis Aver. For 14 years. Now, what was he learning there different than he had already learned the first 63 years of his life? I mean, he was learning his whole life anyway. That was the difference between him and Esav. Esav went out to the field. Esav was an Ish Sode Yodei Atzayid, and Yaakov is the Ish Tom Yoshev Ohalim. So he was told to go get married. Why is he going to another 14 years in the Beis Medrash of Abraham? It says more than not that he was learning there. He was buried. He hid himself there. So many say he was hiding from Esav, who was trying to kill him. He was hiding there. Now, from these psukim, the Gemara learns out, because it doesn't say in the Torah straight out that Yaakov went for 14 years to the Beis Medrash of Aver. It doesn't say that. It says right afterwards, Vayetze Yaakov mi be'er shova, Vayelech Charon, as we'll see in the next week's parasha, and that's it. So the Gemara learns it out from these psukim. The Torah tells us how long Yishmael lived. He was 137 when he died. And it says Esav went to Yishmael, because Esav wanted to marry Yishmael's daughter. Another ruse, he was trying to fool his father, who he heard his father doesn't like Canaanite women, and his father told Yaakov to go to Charan to marry Rachel and Leah, and he realizes he's married to Canaanite women, so he said maybe that's why he didn't get the bracha. So he decided he's going to get married again. He's going to marry someone else. He didn't divorce the other ones though, and he's going to marry Ishmael's daughter. And if someone who gets married is forgiven for all their sins, hopefully I can have a start, new start at life, and maybe now I'll get the brachas. But then it says Vayelach Esav el Yishmael, the end of the parasha, and he took Machalas, the daughter of Yishmael, his sister of Nevoyos. Why does the Torah have to tell us that she was the sister of Nevoyos? Nevoyos is the oldest son of Yishmael. So here's where Chazal learned out that it must be that Yishmael just died. Esav went, they made the shidduch, maybe because when Yishmael saw who Esav was, he died. But that's when Yishmael died, right at that point, and the actual chasen, or the actual marriage was Nevoyos. Nevoyos married her off. Nevoyos married his sister off to Esav after Yishmael died. So we know that Yishmael died at that time. And we know that at that time, if that's the case, then that means that Yaakov was 63 years old, because we know that Yitzchak was 60 when Yaakov and Esav were born. And we know that Yishmael was 14 years older, because Yishmael was born the year after he had his bris, he was 14, so he's 14 years older. So that means at the birth of Yaakov and Esav, how old was Yishmael? He was 74. So you do the math. He died at the age of 137, so that means how old is Yaakov and Esav, because they were twins? 63. So if he's 63 now and he ran away, make the cheshbon, he was in Haran for 14 years, and he worked for love, and then another 6. And then he was in Eretz Yisrael a certain amount of time, and then later he comes to Mitzrayim. If you do all the math, he should be 116 when he comes down to Mitzrayim, and he says he's 130. So there's a discrepancy of 14 years. Where was those 14 years? Chazal say that must be the 14 years that he went to the Beis Medrash of Eiver. So what do you know it from? Just from the mere fact that the Torah had to tell us how old Yishmael was when he died, and that Esav went to Yishmael to marry Yishmael's daughter, and that's when Yishmael died. That's how you could figure all of this out. What do you think Chazal are really telling us over here? So because of that, the Torah had to tell us all of this. Chazal are telling us a very important thing over here. When Esav joins Yishmael, what are we supposed to do? How do we combat Esav and Yishmael? You know how? With Torah Shabbal Peh. It's interesting. In Shir HaShirim it says, Shishim Heima Melochais Ushmoinim Pilakshim Ve'alomais Ein Misbar. 60 princesses, the Pasuk says over there in Shir HaShirim. So Rashi, Chazal tells us over there, it means 60 nations, all of Keturah, the Bnei Keturah and the Bnei Esav, together with the Shvat, all together you have 60 Shishim Melochais. 60 nations, 70 later on, but that's, at that time it's 60. Chazal, however, tells us, referring to the 60 Mesechtes of Shas. There are 60 Mesechtes in Shas. If you count all the Mishnah, it's really the 63, but Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra is like one Mesechtes, so it's 60. Shishim Heima Melochais, Shishim Mesechtes. So what is it, 60 Mesechtes or 60 nations? When the nations are tumbling, when the nations are threatening, what do? We go to the 60 Mesechtes. That's what we have to counter the Goyim, Esav and Yishmael, which all the nations are rooted in Esav and Yishmael. 36 are Esav, 36 are Yishmael. What do? We go into the Beis Medrash and we learn Torah Shabbal Peh. What was Yaakov doing? Esav and Yishmael joined together. What do? 14 years in the Beis Medrash of Eiver. What's that? So the Tzemach Tzedek writes, Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim, Be'ohalo Shel Shem, Be'ohalo Shel Eiver. He says, Shem is Torah Shebeksav. Torah is Shmosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch, the Ramban says in the Hakdama. So Torah Shebeksav is Hashem's name. Eiver is Torah Shebal Peh. So that means he was learning Torah Shebeksav and Torah Shebal Peh, now exclusively Torah Shebal Peh. With Torah Shebal Peh, we combat the nations. That's how we fight. Hakol Kol Yaakov v'hayadayim idei Esav is revealed here. The way we combat is with the Kol Yaakov, which is Tefillah, which is Torah Shabbal Peh. Now it's interesting too, the Chassam Sofer writes, Advar Pele, he says about the Akedah, Avraham went to the Akedah because he heard from Hashem himself. Why did Yitzchak go? Did Yitzchak hear it from Hashem himself? No. He said Yitzchak went because he believed his father, because he had emunas chachamim. And he said in that respect, Yitzchak is even greater than Avraham. Avraham heard it from God himself. Yitzchak heard it from his father. Maybe his father's hallucinating. Maybe his father was disillusioned. He has emunas chachamim. That's Torah Shabbal Peh. So the difference between Avraham and Yitzchak, Avraham is Torah Shabbiksav, Yitzchak is Torah Shabbal Peh. And we can add to that. By the Akedah, Yitzchak became blind. It says in this week's parasha,
He couldn't see. Why couldn't he see? One pshat, Rashi says, is because by the Akedah, the Malachim were crying, and their tears entered his eyes. Lefikach kohu einov. What could he learn now? He could only learn Torah Shebal Peh. He can't learn Torah Shebiksav, because you're not allowed to learn Torah Shebiksav by heart. So now he's only learning Torah Shebal Peh, and the Medrash says, according to one opinion, last week we mentioned the other, that right after the Akedah, he went to the base Medrash of Shem and Eva. For 2 years, we don't know where he is. He went to learn Torah Shebal Peh. He can only learn Torah Shebal Peh. Now he can't see. So Yitzchok is Torah Shebal Peh. The Medrash says, Chof Hei Kislev, the day that we have Hanukkah, was originally the day when the Mishkan was completed. But they did not inaugurate the Mishkan until Nisan. They waited till Nisan. And the Medrash says, you know why? Because Yitzchok was born in Nisan. What does that mean? What does that have to do with it? So therefore what? The Mishkan, the Ohel Moed, is the place where Torah Shebal Peh was revealed. Rashi says this in Shir HaShirim, Heviani El Beis HaYoyin, is referring to the Ohel Moed, from where Torah Shebal Peh emanates. Sinai, that's Torah Shebiksav. Ohel Moed is Torah Shebal Peh. Not only Ohel Moed, that means the Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash, of course, becomes the center for the revelation, for the spreading of Torah Shebal Peh. We say, Ki Mitzion Teitze Torah Udvar Hashem Mirushaloyim. That means the Makom HaMikdash is the place for Torah Shebal Peh. Literally, that's where they went whenever they had difficulties. V'kamtav Yolisa El HaMakom, Asake in Mamre, that's where they went. They went to the Beis HaMikdash. That's where the teaching of Torah was taught from the Makom HaMikdash. That's why it's called Moriah, El Eretz HaMoriah, Shemisham Ho-Ro'o Yotza La'olam. When did that happen? That happened by the Akedah. The Akedah, when Yitzchak is brought at the Akedah on top of Makom HaMikdash, and Yitzchak did it because of his belief in Emunas Chacham, Yitzchak is Torah Shebal Peh, that Makom becomes the Makom HaMikdash, the future source of Torah Shebal Peh. The Medrash tells us, it's a very Peladic Medrash, that at Har Sinai, Hashem took Har HaMoriah and put it on top of Har Sinai. They all ask that Akasha, what did Hashem do that for? Whatever that means exactly. The reason why Hashem brought the two mountains together is to show Torah Shebiksav, Torah Shebal Peh are one. You cannot have Torah Shebiksav without Torah Shebal Peh. You can't have Torah Shebal Peh without Torah Shebiksav. But Torah Shebal Peh is hidden, it's rooted in Torah Shebiksav. That's what was revealed on Chanukah. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Torah Shebal Peh. The Tzedukim fought against Torah Shebal Peh. The Yevonim, the Misyavnim fought against Torah Shebal Peh. That's what was revealed on Chanukah. Torah Shebal Peh is compared to night, and Torah Shebiksav is compared to day. That's why it says Moshe Rabbeinu knew when it was day and night, when he was standing on Har Sinai, when he was up in Shemayim, by what Torah he was taught. If he was taught the written Torah, he knew it was daytime. If he was taught the oral law, he knew it was nighttime. In fact, there are those who say, you're not allowed to learn Chumash at night because of that. The question is, so it shouldn't be allowed to learn Gemara by day. It's discussed. About Yosef has a big, big truth about it. Zichrono Livracha, in a few places, about what the halacha is concerning learning Torah Shebiksav at night, or Torah Shebal Peh by day. But clearly we see Torah Shebiksav is Yom, Torah Shebal Peh is Laila. Torah Shebiksav is Chesed, Torah Shebal Peh is Gevura. Torah Shebiksav is compared to water, Torah Shebal Peh is compared to fire. Torah Shebiksav is the Aron, Torah Shebal Peh is the Menorah. So the Nes of Chanukah happened with the Menorah, the six stems of the menorah, that's the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. That's why it happened with the menorah, which is fire, Eish, that's Torah Shebiksav, the Torah Shebal Peh, that's Gevura, that's on the left side. And that affects Esav. That's why Esav had in him sparks of Torah Shebal Peh, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Meir, Shmaya Avtalion, and many others who were from Esav, descendants of Esav. The formulation of Torah Shebal Peh, therefore, is in Esav. The Chanukah is the bearer of Esav. On Chanukah, we go into the world of Esav, on the left side, below Ten Tfachim, on the outside, nighttime. Kora Laila, says the Balaturim. Vayikra Elokim lo'or yom, v'lachoshech kora Laila. Kora Laila is Begematria Esav. So nighttime is the world of Esav. That's the domain of Esav. That's the time for Torah Shebal Peh. That's when we light the menorah, at night. Mishatishka hachama, atshatichla regel menashuk. As we enter the month of Kislev, we read this parasha. A parasha that's futuristic, it's the Orosh HaMelech HaMashiach, but it also deals with the battle of Yaakov and Esav throughout the generations. In fact, right afterwards comes the anti-Semitism, Vayistom Esav as Yaakov. Yaakov has to go into Golas. But Yaakov is prepared. He has all the brachas. He has all the tools necessary. He goes 14 years into the Beis Medrash of Eivor, delves into Torah Shebaal Peh, and begins revealing Chanukah. Yaakov begins, V'yodo ocheses ba'akev Esav, the concept of Yaakov holding on to the heel of Esav. That's Chanukah. On Chanukah, we hold on to the heel of Esav. And the sparks that exist in Esav, the sparks of Kedusha that exist in the world of Esav, come out. That's the power that Chanukah has. The Zohar, the Kune Zohar says that the first 24 days of Kislev are connected to 24 letters of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Al Yolam Voed. Chanukah, day number 25, is connected to 25 letters of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. So the Pasuk says over here, Esav comes out first, he's a redhead. He's red complexion. But acharei chein, and after that, acharei means a lot later. Whenever it says acharei with a yud, it means much later. What do you mean much later? It was a few minutes later. Why does it say acharei chein? It's referring to later on in the future. Yotza ochiv v'yodo ocheses ba'akev Esav. In the future, yotza ochiv v'yodo ocheses ba'akev Esav. These six words have a gematria exactly. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod. That's Chof Hei Kislev. Yotza Ochiv is Begematria Kislev. Yotza Ochiv, in the future, Yaakov will come out holding on to the heel of Esav in victory. We will defeat Esav, but at the same time, we will also elevate Esav, because there are sparks of Kedusha in Esav. There is a part of Esav that will be rectified when Mashiach will come. Esav is not totally out of the loop. Nowhere does it say that when Mashiach comes, we're the only ones. The nations will also be part of it. Those that kept to the seven mitzvahs, those that helped Klal Yisrael, and certainly, of course, all the Geirim and all the converts, all the Nitzvotei Kedusha that existed in Esav, they're all there. And this parasha talks to us about it. Yitzchak ben Shishim Shana, Yitzchak is 60, Shishim, those are the Shishim Mesechtes. Kislev was created with the letters Samach, Ki Yadua, Samach is 60, Yitzchak ben Shishim Shana, when Yaakov and Esav are born. So in this parasha, Told us Yitzchak is Torah Shebaal Peh. What's told us Yitzchak? Yitzchak is Torah Shebaal Peh. He represents Torah Shebaal Peh, as the Chassam Sofer says, as we said before. Through Torah Shebaal Peh, Yaakov and Esav separate. Vayaro lekim es ha'or ki tov, vayavdel. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that vayavdel is Begematria Eliyahu. What do we sing Motzoi Shabbos? All the songs about Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi was associated with the Geula, Eliyahu HaTishbi. So the Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in the Haggah on the Balaturim, and he writes it in his Siddur, that Es Ha'or Ki Tov Vayavdel is referring to Bris, Sofer Teves Bris, and it's referring to the light of the future. That he says, Vayavdel, all Havdolas are connected. We make Havdolah Motzoi Shabbos. That Hashem separated us from the nations, and he separates Shabbos from the rest of the week. And light and darkness, or in Choshech and Kodesh and Chol. Vayavdel, all the Havdolas, Vayavdel, he says, equal to 52, because there are 52 Shabbos during the year that you have to make Havdolah. And every Motzoi Shabbos, we sort of meet Eliyahu, because Motzoi Shabbos is when we enter the world of eight. We leave Shabbos as the seventh day of the week, and it could become eight, but if not, it becomes Sunday in another week again. And of course, Chanukah is the Yomtiv of eight. Eight is the number associated with the future. Eight is the number that separates us from the Goyim. V'yiten l'choho elikim ital ha-shamayim. We say this Motzoi Shabbos. That's the connection to Motzoi Shabbos. When we make Havdalah, we say V'yiten l'choho elikim ital ha-shamayim b'shmanei ha-ores. The Medrash says, what was Yitzchak really blessing Yaakov over here with? Mital ha-shamayim is Mikra. U'mishmanei ha-ores zeh Mishnah. Torah Shebaal Peh. Mishmanei Ha'aretz. This is the first time ever in Chumash you have a word with the shorish of shemen in it, oil, which of course Chanukah is the Yom Tov of oil. The question though is, what did Yitzchak mean when he said to Esav, and with this we'll end, Mishmanei Ha'aretz Yihya Moshevecha. So he's giving Esav the same bracha. V'yitel l'cho elikim ital ha'shmayim Mishmanei Ha'aretz. That's going to Yaakov. And Medrash says it means Mishnayis Gemara, Torah Shebaal Peh. So what does it mean when we talk about Esav? So, either, as we said, because in Esav also there are the sparks of Torah Shebaal Peh, that Marv HaShemesh brings down here. Marv HaShemesh, at the end of the parashah, told us, he says, Mishmanei Ha'aretz is Chanukah. The oil that was in the ground, Mishmanei Ha'aretz, the oil that was under the ground, that's the jug of oil that was under the ground, Mishmanei Ha'aretz, Yiyeh Moshevecha. He says, how do we wipe away Esav? Moshevecha comes from the word Vayashev, which means to Vayashev Osam Avram. Avram gets the shoes the bird away, whatever the word is, and Vayashev, to fly away. Mishmanei Haaretz Chanukah Yiyeh Moshavecha, says the Maariv HaShemesh. It's also quoted in a sefer called Zichron Shmuel from Shmuel Ostrovtsa. So he quotes this Maariv HaShemesh that the bracha that was given to Esav was actually a klola. Mishmanei Haaretz Yiyeh Moshavecha. Yom HaPolo will be on Chanukah. Esav was killed on Chanukah, as mentioned before. The day that Yaakov is buried in the Maariv HaShemesh is the same day that Esav is killed. That means Esav Ma'apolo is Chanukah. But there's also a deeper meaning. Mishmanei Haaretz Yiyeh Moshavecha. That on Chanukah you also will have a tikkun. Because Chanukah not only rectifies us, and only it also brings back the lower neshamas back into the fold, those that are on the left and below 10 tefachim and outside and so on. But it also affects Esav, and it also brings Esav to his level, because Esav is also considered a Yid in certain ways, and Esav also, Yaakov and Esav Amurim Beparsha, there is a Kedusha in Esav that has to be brought out into the open, and that's done on Chanukah. May we be Zaychataka to the Nes of Chanukah. Every year it says, Sha'asa Nisma Lavasena Bayom Elohim Bezman Hazer, and to the Ma'apola of Yishmael, and today when we see Vayelech Esav El Yishmael, what did Yaakov do? He delved into Torah Shebaal Peh. That's what we have to do. That's our Or HaGonis. The Or HaGonis is in the Torah. Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah in general, Pnimiyas HaTorah, also which was revealed in the last generations, is our way of combating the nations. It's our way of fighting the nations. It's also our way of elevating the sparks, bringing the sparks of Kedusha into where they're supposed to be. Maybe we zochet to do that, and we should all be zochet to ve'eilat told us Yitzchak, to Tzmichas Ben David, and celebrate Chanukah in the Beis HaMikdash, HaShlish.